openly with our children. I once heard from a certain individual, also a rabbi, not a chassid, who said that I never had parnasa in my life, but I didn't want my children to think that a Rosh Hashiva, he was a Rosh Hashiva, I didn't want my children to think that a Rosh Hashiva, that living the life of a Rosh Hashiva and a Rav means you have to suffer. So I pretended to be wealthy but cheap. He said, I wanted my children to think that the chesaron is in me. It's my problem. We have plenty. The bank accounts are loaded. I'm cheap. Because I knew that if my children associated the life that we live with suffering and privation, then it would turn them off. And this is something that affects not only Parnassa, but there has become a common practice, an unfortunately common practice amongst Hasidim, who have incorrectly interpreted certain statements of the Rebbe, that because the Rebbe would sometimes speak in tones which appeared to be complaining to the Eivishta, which would seem that the Rebbe was arguing with the Eivishta and demanding things. So there became, people take this in a wrong manner, and it became the style to make jokes at God's expense. Which is to say, ha, so-and-so got killed, huh, of course, he's a Meshuchest. So, of course terrible things happen to good people. It became like a big joke. What do you expect? Of course, God kills the good, and God makes good people suffer. And everyone goes, huh, yeah, it's a big joke. And that's it, it's a style, you hear it all the time. You walk in Crown Heights, you sit in Crown Heights, you hear this kind of talk all the time. If chas v'shalom, children hear such talk, what kind of impression do you think that it makes on them? What are you telling your children? Everyone says, ah, so-and-so, yes, she was special. Of course, the special die young. So what are you telling your children? Don't be special. Don't be good. I happened to just see a vart from a Hasidic Rebbe, a Polish Rebbe, that he says, what does it mean, Kalamayber l'sapa b'tzias Mitzrayim harezeh meshubach, that whoever increases in talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim is praiseworthy. So he explains it to mean as follows, that one of the things that the Yetzer Hara does to make a person's service of Hashem difficult is he focuses on all the negatives. He gets a person to think about all the things that are going wrong in their lives. How hard it is, how difficult it is. So he says, Kalamayber l'sapir l'tzias Mitzrayim. He says, how do you fight this Yetzer Hara? He says, you have to increase talking about the miracles, about the good things that happen in your life, about the Yetzias Mitzrayims in your life. And he says, you have to talk about it so much until the Yetzer Hara has nothing to say. Until you totally overwhelm the Yetzer Hara, who's trying to focus on the negative. And he continues and he says, Harezeh Meshubach, if you do that, then you will, Hashem will give you more reasons to praise Him. When we go through difficulties and we emphasize the difficulty, we perpetuate them. When we go through difficulties and we emphasize the chasadim, the kindnesses, the goodnesses that Hashem does to us, the Hashgacha Pratisin, then we not only make ourselves, not only do we enjoy our own personal happiness and we're not distracted by our Yetzaharas, but our children will do likewise. There was a time that my father's old Gesundheit was not well, and he was forced to give up one of his jobs, and in order to keep the job which had made less money but had more security, and With a family of 9 children, we were not making it. My mother called us in and said, don't ask your father for this, don't ask your father for that, because we don't have. We did not take it well. My father, on the other hand, only talked about Hashem's kindnesses. That's all he talked about. He always says, I don't have any kindness. I remember as a kid, the collector, there was a certain collector who would go around collecting money, and he used to come to our house as a guest. My father would come, and and we would treat him as like royalty. He was our guest. And my father would give him a nice, some nice money to go away with. We would feed him, and we would entertain him, and then he unfortunately didn't have a family. And that was, throughout my childhood, that was one of the memorable events, was when this Meshulach would visit the house. When I was older, the Meshulach would come to the house, but this time he was coming to the house to lend my father money. Not to get, but to give. And all my father had to say about his difficulties was, thank the Eivishter I have my health, thank the Eivishter my children are healthy, thank the Eivishter this one is helping, that one is helping. That's all I ever heard from my father on the topic of his financial situation. Now that I know what it's like to experience difficulties myself, I'm extremely grateful to my father, and I would never tell my son that we don't have. As far as my son knows, we have. What do you need? Whatever you need, we have. You may not get everything you want. Not everything you want is that important, but you should get it. But the kid is not supposed to walk around feeling. All he's supposed to hear about is Tashkacha Pratistin and how the Eivishter helps and how the Eivishter is good. And that's what he has to hear. That's what we have to hear. So yes, there's no question that it's difficult, but only if we emphasize the negative. If we emphasize the positive, as the Rebbe says, as it says, Chassidus Trach Gut V'Zayin Gut, when we emphasize the positive, it ends up that not only do we weather the situation well, but the situation itself will actually improve. So I think that, again, if children learn values, and children learn that there are things that are more important to you, that pnimius, ruchnius, God, gatlichkeit, this is what's valuable to you, this is what's important to you, and that they learn that soon, that we're living the times of Mashiach, and everyone is going to have, and gashmius is going to be like dust, and there'll be plenty. And if that's the focus and that's the emphasis, then children do have the flexibility and resilience to withstand even the challenges of a home which experiences deprivation. This is all wonderful when kids are young, but how does one deal with teenage boys, girls who unfortunately didn't go in the Hasidic path? Perhaps we the parents are to blame, but after all is said and done, how can we help this child to make a turnaround for the best and go in the ways of Torah, mitzvahs, and Hasidus? I think we covered that question. We said the way you start is with yourself, and sometimes it might be die to call an outside help. I will be glad to meet with anybody afterwards or at some other time who would like to discuss that on an individual basis. I agree with your message, the Rebbe's message, and we are learning from our child every day. Now we won't worry about it as much. But for those whose parents will get confused between their children leading them to Geulah and leading them into Galus, this is a message for parents to do less. What can you do to help? Parents recognize the difference and nurture the Geuladik and not the Golistik. I thought that that's what this whole evening was about. It was about how we learn
to have, let our children lead us into Geula rather than leading them into Galus. I'm not sure I can do any more with that question. If there are any other questions, yes.
Yeah, you mentioned how you had given up on Goyish music. Was Tutman that in a lot of the chasnas, towards the end of the chasna, they played lute music?
It's a problem. The only thing you could do is stay away from them. I mean, I can't really tell you or explain to your children that this is not for us. I mean, that there are people that do this, and this is not for us. The problem is, the real problem, tricky thing is that you have not just the chasna music, but you have a lot of Goyish music which parades as Jewish music. They take Goyish music, put some Jewish words to it. And what happens is, now officially what they're trying to do is elevate the Goyish music. But I know many children, what happens is they get into the beat and the sound and the noise, and they start looking for more of it outside of the Jewish music. Which means that not all of this Jewish music is being elevated. Some of this Jewish music is pulling us down. So how do you differentiate between Jewish music that is elevating, that is being music of non-Jewish sources that has been elevated, and non-Jewish music that pulls us down? It's a very tricky business. It's very difficult. Clearly, there should be a strong emphasis on Hasidic music. When children have a strong background and knowledge in Hasidic music, and music with teichen and with values, they're more resistant to secular music. It is only kids who don't have a real love and enjoyment and appreciation for Hasidic music, so they're going to run to the sound and the beat and the excitement of the Goyish music. But again, the children who have that will choose the music which is valued and something that we, I mean, let's say, for instance, my son is with the Yiddish gems, with the Yom Tov Erlich ballads that in Yiddish that Avram Fried put on tape. I mean, he's busy with it day and night. He loves it. And now he's seen some, you know, he's been in other houses and he's seen the Miami experience and the Chvesnishvas. I mean, as soon as we realize that it's going on, we pull him away. But he's seen enough of it and he realizes, I mean, given the choice, because we work on exposing him and we'll sit by the Shabbos meals and we'll go through Nagunim and everyone picks a niggun and, you know, we spend time in it, we talk about it, we're involved in it. And we're not interested and involved in the other kind of music. So the kid, again, learns values, learns what to take and what not to take. And even when they're exposed to non-Jewish things, even in the Jewish packaging, they're still able to discern and choose between what is kosher, what is appropriate, and what is not. What corrections we can make on the level as a community, that in general as a community, you know, is what we can limit the exposure of our children as individual parents. What can we do as a community? We can only, you know, we can only talk about it and tumble about it and try to be the ones that when we make a simcha to tell the band that we only want Hasidic music. And the more people that will do that, and the more people that will get the message that the other kind of music is not appreciated, there won't be a demand for it. So unfortunately, the consumers are the ones that keep up the demand. So we have to see to it to do whatever we can to not only, as a community, to not only not be involved in it ourselves, but to do whatever we can to try to get rid of it. There are clearly, however, certain things as songs which become elevated. I'm not sure exactly what the process is. Clearly songs that were accepted by the Rebbe at Hakafis and things like that, even though they have clearly secular influences in the music, those songs are elevated. And in fact, the Rebbe pointed out about the French national anthem, the Rebbe said that one of the oftus of the fact is that there are children who grow up thinking that it's a chassidish nigun. They don't even know that it was once not a Jewish nigun. So I understood from that that the Rebbe considered it a maila, that even when a nigun becomes elevated to kedusha, it's important that the children do not know where, that the children should think that it's a chassidish nigun in its origins, and should not know that it comes from somewhere else, and to go look over there to see if they can find more. So it's a good idea that the children, even those things that became part of the Chassidish and Nagina, Harabi Shlita and Harabi Milubavitch Mashiach, songs that clearly have influences from the outside world, but once they became Niskabel and these Dalaramis, then they're 100% kosher Chassidish and Nagunim, but the children don't have to know anything else except for the fact that it's a chassidus shenigin. But they have to know that our nagina, our music is chassidus shenigina. It's music with teichen, with values, and other music which is noise, even if it's entertaining and it's exciting, but it's not, that's not for us. And children are capable of learning these distinctions and practicing these distinctions and resisting these influences. As I said, if instead of trying to force it on them and push it on them, we inspire them and we awaken in them their own natural potential, their own innate desire to see Gettlichkeit, and it will be these children that will lead us to the Geula, to greet the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach. Any more questions?
I was very happy that my son is involved in the Mashiach album with the stickers, and now he has he's just about 70 stickers, and he's on the verge of eager to get Tetris, an addictive video game. I'd like to know how you deal with that with your son, and should I be concerned with this?
Okay, my son has 90 stickers in his album, and he knows that he cannot get a Tetris because we don't have Tetris. Now, he knows that the other kids in his class do have Tetris, Game Boy, whatever it is. And we never told him that he can't do it by somebody else, because I'm not going to make it into an Avera. And so with other kids, he knows he can do it. In our house, he knows that my wife, we spoke to him, we explained to him many times, and he understands that. He mentioned it. He says, oh, I have 90, I can get Tetris. We said, uh-huh. And he said, okay. He just tested the waters, and he saw that no one's too interested, and that's it. Because we explained to him that by getting involved in these activities which are supposedly supposed to help hand-eye coordination, what you get for the hand-eye coordination in exchange is children who are not capable of focusing, concentrating, have very short attention spans, and it's a tremendous sacrifice in a book-based society to trade off for hand-eye coordination. It seems like a little bit too big of an exchange. So we explained to him that the same time that he sits now and reads his Beis Yehuda Chumash, and he reads Mises in Yiddish, and he listens to tapes of stories, and he chazes his Chumash, and he learns Mishnayos Baal Peh, and in the time that he's doing all of those things, if you get involved with these kind of games, they're distracting, and you won't have, and it'll be at the expense of these things. And whether or not he's that excited about giving it up, but he never complained, never said a word about it. He understands that it's a value-based decision, and therefore it's not just that we're being not nice to him, we're being mean. He realized that it's a decision based on values, and therefore, he accepts that decision. It's not, okay, when you tell him to go to sleep, to put on his pajamas, you might get an argument. But when you, because what's the value behind putting on your pajamas? So it's harder to teach your kid the value of listening to your parents, because they sometimes suspect that you're more concerned about your own ego than you are about kibud aveim. So that's a more challenging thing to teach. But when you teach your kid that there are values, and there's certain things that we do and certain things that we don't do, even if they're permitted, children have no problem giving up things, even things which they know are technically permitted, if they know that we live by a higher standard. So again, it has to be done in a way that your child does not feel deprived. It has to be done in a way where you're not making the child feel, you know, you're not getting into a fight with the child. It has to be in a way where you show trust and belief in the child's ability to withstand the temptation based on values and standards.
You mentioned about music which pulls down and music which is elevated. And you said that one should focus on Chassidish and Nigunim. So we see, however, that the Rebbe gave his Haskama to, for example, Moshe Yes's burnt offering, which is a rock with a Jewish theme, but rock and roll words and music and lexicon to a certain degree. And he got the Rebbe's Haskama and encouragement. So it would appear that in certain instances, there is such an Indian. So what exactly is the difference?
Okay. The question here is, and I really kind of didn't get into it because it opens up a lot of different topics. The question is that it's clear that the Rebbe gave brachas to people who are involved in music with very strong rock and roll themes, with very strong groups which were into heavy, harder rock and wilder sounds. And clearly the Rebbe gave his Haskama and Bracha for those things to be done in order to attract people to Yiddishkeit. And the answer is, so how do we deal with those things in relation to our children? And the answer is that we have to explain to our children that if the Rebbe sent people and told people to go back to college in order to elevate the Jews that are there, in order to elevate the fields that they're working in, and our children, it's not everyone understands that you could explain to a child and say as follows, that l'chatchila, there is the things that we do l'chatchila, and l'chatchila our chinach is chinach al Titus HaKedesh with no English, with no outside secular influences whatsoever. And Pashit, I can't describe in words the genuine pleasure I experience every time I think about the fact that my son does not know the ABCs. I can't begin to describe it. I know that there are those that pity me and my son, and I personally, I'm telling you, I don't have words to describe. Pashit, Tainu Gashmi. The tainug that I have from knowing that my son does not know the ABCs. And yet, I do, and I use my knowledge, and I try to use my knowledge to reach out to those who I can reach out utilizing that knowledge. But at the same time, I certainly will do everything I can to protect my child from being exposed to the things that I was exposed to. So it's true that my particular tshuva, my particular geula, is to take those things which were outside of the realm of Kedusha and elevate it to Kedusha. But at the same time, my child's geula is growing up in a world where those things don't even exist. So, and this is something that, again, if you work at it, you can give your children to understand that yes, that for those people who are coming from there, who are coming from that background, these things can be used to bring them closer to Kedusha. But those very same things, so a person, a Baal Tshuva who's coming from college and that ever told him to go back to college in order to elevate his profession and elevate the Jews that are there, he has the kaiches to go there and elevate it. And the person coming from a Hasidic home, who did not send there, if he goes to college will corrupt him. And not only will he not elevate it, but he'll be pulled down by it. So the same thing is with the music, and the same thing is with many other things that people try to use as examples, that, oh, you see, that I've encouraged this, that I've encouraged that. I'm saying no chassid in the world ever read the Chassidus, the Friedrich Rebbe's Sichus, where he talks about going to museums and opera and gatherings, public gatherings that took place in Germany, Austria, France. No one ever understood from that Chassidim should go to those places. And no one understood from the story that Alter Rebbe sent his chassid to a theater in order to give the usher in the theater, who was a tzaddik nistah, a copy of the Tanya. No one ever understood from that it means that you're supposed to go to theaters. And in fact, Faket, we know that the Friedrich Rebbe asked that not only shouldn't people go to theaters, but you shouldn't even walk under a marquee. If the thing that sticks out from the theater, you should walk around. So the fact that no one ever learned from the fact that they ever went to college, that we should go to college, never made it clear. If anything, you should learn the exact opposite. That whatever the shtichus of the rabbeim is, and whatever the shtichus of those individuals who grew up in those cultures, and therefore have to elevate those cultures, that doesn't mean that that's the shlichus of our children. Our children are supposed to grow up in a pure environment, in a pure, the Rebbe gave his haskama bracha for all those French bali tshuva, that the Rebbe made them stay in college, and the Rebbe made them stay as doctors and lawyers, even when they wanted to open Chabad houses. The Rebbe, there's many Chabad houses in France that are run by people that have full-time jobs. In universities, doctors, lawyers, full-time jobs, and they have Chabad houses as a sideline. But those same people, when they came to ask the Rebbe, can we make a Meishet Chinuch al Tayrus HaKadosh for our children, where our children will have no secular subjects, so the Rebbe gave them a bracha. So those same people who themselves are in the colleges and in the professions and all those things, the Rebbe gave those same people the bracha to raise their children in a way where they're not exposed to any of these things. So the same thing, certainly those who themselves did not have anywhere near that level of exposure, certainly have to see to it, to do everything we can to protect our children from those things, even the things which have the blessings of the Rebbe in terms of elevating them to Kedusha. But for our children, that's not their job. The Friedrich Rebbe brings a story that the Tzemach Tzedek was once sitting with his children, and he said to them that they shouldn't learn Chakira. This was after the Tzemach Tzedek had said many, the Tzemach Tzedek was klar in all Sifrei Chakira, in all books of Jewish philosophy, the philosophy that preceded Kabbalah. And he said to his children, he said, learning these Svarim is like eating snakes and scorpions. So the Tzemach Tzedek himself, was proficient in these books, and there's a whole sefer called Sefer HaKira, Maimarim, from the Tzemach Tzedek, dealing with issues that are dealt with in these Svarim. So yeah, the answer is that some people, they're supposed to eat snakes and scorpions. That's their shlichus. To eat snakes and scorpions and elevate them. But you certainly don't go, and unless you hear from above, from God, direct or through the Rebbe, that's the shlichus of your children, then you certainly should do everything in your power to see to it that your children are not swallowing snakes and scorpions. So too, with this kind of music, the same thing applies with all of these secular areas where, on the one hand, we were given the keches to elevate them. On the other hand, we don't lechatchila get involved in these things with the cheshbon that we're going to elevate them. Anyway, I think we'll have to call it a night, and let's hope that this is just one more step in bringing closer the immediate Geula and the scholars of the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach. Yechi Adonainu Mareinu V'Rabbeinu Melech HaMashiach Leilam Vod.
Thank you, Rabbi Hamnick.
I got any soda? You gave out all the time.